Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. The award-winning documentary Locker Room Talk from Kingston's TMI Project was produced in produced in partnership with a nationally acclaimed organization, A Call to Men. On November 9th, they will be hosting their first Hudson Valley screening at the Kingston High School, where the film began. Locker Room Talk follows players from the Kingston Tigers football team as they go through a TMI Project workshop to explore the cultural expectations of masculinity and how it has impacted their lives. In it, they make it through the season and to a final TMI Project performance in which they read their stories in front of a live audience in the very auditorium where the film will be screened on November 9th. To tell us more, we welcome TMI Project co-founder, executive director, and workshop leader, Eva Tenuto. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's really wonderful to have you on the program. We also welcome TMI Project workshop leader, Tyler Epps. Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing okay. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Very nice to have you and to have you join us on this occasion of the documentary Coming Home, really.
Yes.
Tell me how this whole project got started.
I saw Tony Porter's TED Talk, which has now reached millions of people. He's the co-founder of A Call to Men, and he came to speak at SUNY Ulster for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And while I was there, Coach Collins, who's the head of the football team, was the head of the football team at the time we did this work, has since retired. He was there with some of his football players. And after I watched Tony's presentation, I could see in the audience that a lot of the men and boys were really inspired and intrigued to start doing things differently. But what I wondered when I left was, how are they going to be able to do that without any help or guidance or instruction? And it felt like something that TMI Project could really help with, given that we teach true storytelling and telling the TMI parts of the stories, the parts people are usually too embarrassed or ashamed to share. And so A Call to Men and TMI Project partnered. It seemed like with Tony's influence and with our methodology, we could really make a difference.
What was the original reaction from the school?
Well, Coach Collins, I knew, was going to be accepting of the idea because he was already there and he had been doing work with his football players to prevent domestic violence for years. So I already knew that we would have his buy-in. The school was supportive for the most part. There were some times that we came up against coaches who really wanted them to focus more on practicing and winning the game than they did want them at a writing workshop or rehearsal. But for the most part, we got full support from the school.
And the students who are student athletes who are taking on a project like this it's one more thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was demanding of their schedule, too. It's one of the things that we address in the film is that they have a demanding schedule from getting up early to go to practice, all of their schoolwork, and then to stay on late to do this work and then to perform. But I just met with them recently. They're all in their mid-20s now, and all of them were extremely proud of the work that they did and their contributions and are going to be at the auditorium for the screening of the film. I'm really excited for them to be able to share it with the community again.
Give me a sense of Tyler's input
and
participation in this.
So when we filmed the movie, you know, the idea started in 2016. TMI Project was only 6 years old then, and Sari Botten and I were the only workshop leaders at the time. We are now almost 16 years old, and we have since trained 20 new workshop leaders.
Wow.
So our team has grown substantially, and one of the biggest dedications that we have as an organization is making sure that our workshop leaders reflect the demographics of those we're serving. And so while I'm so glad that I was able to teach this workshop and have the experience with these young athletes, I would never teach this workshop again. So we needed to train men who could lead young men in the work that we're doing so they could see themselves in their leadership. And so Tyler has been working with us for a couple of years now and has been to different screenings and helped lead workshops that are associated with the film.
Tyler, what is it like to talk about this with those who are a part of it and those who are seeing it and reacting to it?
Well, the film comes at these different intersections of my life quite naturally. I played basketball in college and had my own fair share and still do struggles with mental health and physical health and conditions of our culture in a community that traditionally in our society doesn't hold those conversations very comfortably, if at all. So being at the spaces where locker room talk happens and being a part of TMI Project, it is just a natural order by way of happenstance maybe, but where my healing was directed, and I guess where my intentions of this film helping support other folks on their journey of even if not healing, but becoming more aware. So most of the time, it's the folks are very gracious to have the opportunity to share and to feel and to be heard and to listen on that kind of level.
When they're listening, what are they? What do you think they're taking in? What do you think that they're latching on to?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I think maybe more so than what. An input of theirs, it's a reflection, and there's a points of connection where folks, maybe it's safe to say that they're taking in a freedom, a liberty, a liberation to express their story or to look at parts of their experience, parts of the human experience that they didn't even know could be expressed. That, you know, boys, we don't cry, we're the tough ones, so why would we even acknowledge these things that hurt in this way? So it's hard to say. Sometimes it's very obvious. Folks will express the gratitude that they have for the space that was created. Other times it's silence and there's a hush, but you know, we're a storytelling organization. So often the feedback comes with a pen that's moving or a story that comes over time.
What kind of stories did you find that they wanted to tell, typically? Mm. I mean, obviously it's a broad range, but personal experiences in regards to mostly what they're doing on the field as athletes.
No, we didn't really address that.
And I don't mean about the game, but I mean about what it is like to be in that position.
Well, we chose them because they were in positions of influence. We knew that other kids in the school would look up to them, and if they saw them telling their stories, they would be more inspired to do the same. In fact, we had them perform for the eighth grade class, knowing that they would be the next class of freshmen coming in as a way to welcome them. But the students talked about a wide variety of things. All of them had just lost a friend to a tragic car accident, and we discovered right away that none of them knew that the others were grieving. They were all grieving in silos, and no one had a way to process that in community together. And that doesn't come up in the film, but just while we were doing the workshop, it really felt like one of the biggest payoffs right up front was that we helped them process the loss of their friend. They dealt with mental health issues with losing a friend to suicide in one story, losing a grandfather to suicide in another. One student talked about having eating disorder and body image issue, which is something that we rarely hear about from boys and men. And I have since heard that so many in the audience identify with that and were grateful to hear that experience because they had not heard it before. So there were a lot of things that they didn't have a space to talk about normally and were given one. And I think that people often think that it will take so much to change the culture or the space to get them to share. And I feel like when we set the safe up and set the space up intentionally, they really want to. It's really experiences that have been stifled and have had no place to go. And once we can take the cap off and let them share and have some relief, they're really ready for it.
Let me ask both of you. We're talking about the TMLI project in Kingston and their documentary Locker Room Talk, which is going to be presented on November 9th at the Kingston High School. So, again, a question for you both, but let me begin with Tyler. These are obviously personal stories. Is it different in the sense of them communicating with one person and writing it down for themselves versus sharing it with others in a group setting?
Oh, yeah, it takes a great deal of courage. And we honor them in that way. It's a ceremony of sorts, a rite of passage. And folks are leaders. They're visionaries in stepping out and telling stories in that way. That's not lost upon me at all. And I think it's safe to say it's not lost upon the organization. It's a big deal getting up there and telling the story in that way.
Yeah, and I can add that, you know, there are two aspects, I'm sure there are many aspects, but two that I will bring to light about trauma is that one is the incident that you go through. The other is going through the incident without care, without community, without help, without support, and that's a secondary trauma. So if we're looking to help people heal in whatever ways that we are approaching it, being able to do so with other people who are there to support you is very transformational. So within the workshop space, that's the first place that that happens. But then when they step on stage and they have the support of the entire audience, people often feel like the thing that they thought they were going to be judged for, they're now being given praise for. It changes the way they look back at the experience. And so that's pretty powerful. And another thing that the young men just reflected back to me was that when they went to college, public speaking was no big deal. They were like, if we started with TMI Project, we could talk about anything after that. And they all expressed that, which was really lovely.
Certainly the name of the film Locker Room Talk is not lost on me. That is comes from Donald Trump's explanation for the Access Hollywood bus tape of what he said on that tape of that it was reduced to in his telling as locker room talk. I assume that's where that comes from.
It was in the zeitgeist at the time. I don't like to attribute anything to one singular person, but I think it was in the background of the moment when we were filming. We actually started before his election, before the Me Too movement. But yeah, it was in the background.
Okay, but it does. So it brings us to mind of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that kind of baked in the cake of the things that you talk about?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a nod to what historical locker room talk was acceptable and what we hope it to be in the future. What we hope the conversations are able to turn into. And obviously, we're not talking about people having trauma-informed conversations in the locker room. But this whole program was a violence prevention program. A Call to Men is one of the number one violence prevention programs for the NFL, the NBA. And what we feel and what we find is that if boys and men are not given tools to be expressive, to be able to talk about their experiences, when all of that is stifled, it makes sense that there's a resort to violence. That's what we want to prevent. We want to prevent that from happening and give other outlets. So, yes, it's we want to open up the ways of communication.
So when I'm interested more in A Call to Men of that organization, what they do and how you incorporated that into what you wanted to do with the documentary.
Yeah, they do a lot of training specifically for boys and men. Their concept is calling the cultural expectations of masculinity what Tony describes as the man box, all of the things that confine men into being stuck inside a limited realm of possibility for how they can live acceptably in the world. And they do trainings with college students, with corporate leadership, like I said, with athletes. And their work is very compelling. Tony is an incredible speaker. And as I said, I could see and feel the audience moving in a way with his words, and really just wanted a way to follow up more to give skills that could back that inspiration.
Tyler, I'm curious as to when you're working with the students of how, what are your prompts? Like, what are things, because, I don't want to stereotype, but sometimes it's hard to get kids to talk. So how do you do that?
That's a good question. Maybe here's like, we could do it as an example. You tell me, what is something that we wouldn't know about you by looking at you?
And we always say, this is how we start every workshop, with that verbal prompt. And we can always say, like, there are so many things we don't know about you. You can be as personal or, you know, superficial as you'd like.
Yeah. I was, and you, oh, vague or personal.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, oh, that's either. Really interesting.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that probably most people don't know is that I self-identify, even though of my position, I self-identify as an introvert.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. There are a lot of people who are in public speaking who are introverts, myself included.
Yeah. I mean, because you do it, and I mean, my joke is that you do it when you get paid for it.
That's one reason.
Yeah, that's when you talk. All right, and then you get the ball rolling, right, Tyler? Then it goes from there.
Yeah. So Eva does a great job at this. The prompts and the conversations, it's a gradual motion from something that could be very superficial to very deep and very intimate and very personal. So that's the trajectory of the workshop, be it a one-day workshop or a 10-week storytelling adventure.
Yeah.
The trajectory is very intentional.
Yeah, we start by being very intentional with setting the space and then using prompts. I mean, as I just told you, that could be very superficial or very deep. You get to choose. So everybody's setting their own comfort level. And then in the beginning, we might prompt them with something like, tell us something about yourself that you think is incredibly boring. Or what is something that happened that was hard at the time, but you can laugh at now? Things that will just start to open them up and get the creative juices flowing. But one thing that's really interesting about teens, and I would dare to say all people, is that you could ask them a question, and most of the time with teens anyway, I'll limit it to that, they'll say, I don't know, nothing. You know, those are the
right.
typical answers
sure.
that we get. But if you give them a pen and a piece of paper and prompt them correctly, they will tell you everything. So we worked in a school one year, and I remember the school social worker saying to us, how did you get them to tell you all that? I have been working with that young woman for 4 years. I had no idea any of that stuff. It's much harder for them to put things in words than it is for them to put words on a page.
We have about a minute and a half, and I just want you to tell us what people can expect from the event on November 9th, because obviously there is the showing of the documentary, yeah. but much more.
Yeah, we'll be having a panel discussion after with some of the students who are in the film, Coach Collins, who is also in the film, Anthony Dandridge, who's a professor at SUNY New Paltz in the African Studies Department. Tyler Epps will be on the panel with us to talk about workshop leading. And Gwen Wright, who was the former executive director of domestic violence prevention for New York State. And then I also just want to mention that if people are not able to attend in person, Locker Room Talk was taken up by the educational distribution company Good Docs. And so it's available for schools all over the country, either for a 14-day license or to keep in your library forever at a very minimal cost. And if people want to learn more, they can go to tmiproject.org.
And as far as your work, that continues.
Oh, yeah. So we really hope that the film being completed is now just the beginning. Like, now we have the product that we can use, but the programming is just beginning. At the end of the film, we say, if we can get other young boys and men to hear these stories and feel inspired to do the same, we hope this keeps rippling out into other communities.
Find out more at TMIproject.org, TMIproject.org. Locker Room Talk will be shown on November 9th at the Kingston High School. Eva and Tyler, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
Great
for having
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.